life could be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity.
You are listening to the Corporation Nation, usually hosted by the one and only Clint Richardson, for whom I am subbing tonight. I also had the pleasure of subbing last night. Tonight it is April 10th, 2015, and Clint's websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. If you wish to make a comment or ask a question of our guest, that number is 800-313-9443. We have two chat rooms going, spingola.chatango.com and corporationnation.chatango.com. And our guest tonight is Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very, very popular movie, Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. Dennis, welcome back.
Hi, Diana. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, thank you.
That's great. Cheers.
It was such a pleasure having you on last night, and the time just flew by. It was just amazing. But I'm so glad that we could do this two nights in a row. I'm glad that you could spread the time to do this.
No problem.
Well, we had a lot of interesting callers last night, and we also talked about a lot of very interesting things. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to focus on?
Well, presently, I tend to do some little short videos debunking a lot of myths about Adolf Hitler. If I can make them under 3 minutes, then I do. So, because I know people haven't got a lot of time at hand. So any of the myths, you know, it'd be good to discuss.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the myths. I mean, there are so many of them. And we've probably all heard them and maybe even believed them at one time or another. Now, we talked about one of the myths last night about Hitler going to Argentina. And there's a gentleman that promoted that myth. And he seems to be very popular. But anyway, you go ahead and tell us some myths that you would like to focus on.
Well, I feel that a lot of the myths came after 1945 with any books written on the Nazis, which was like a turkey shoot with nobody there to reply on their behalf. Or if there ever was, they would have been arrested. So a lot of these myths do come from that period and even later. So it's always, you know, it's never a great idea to take people at the word, especially after 1945 when it is in vogue to rip the Nazis apart, because obviously at that time all publishers would accept anything bad about the Nazis anyway. And as you said, the Argentina one, not quite sure when that came about, but I'll guarantee it was after 1945, is a kind of a myth which in one way is, I think in the book they back it up with some FBI files, which again in my opinion is never the best source anyway, but a lot of people who've read the book or seen the documentary seem to believe quite a bit of it. But again, as we discussed last night, the viability of it all. I mean, even if it came down to the point where he did escape, the most famous man, the most hunted man in the world, I don't believe would have lasted probably 24 hours without somebody cashing in, as they did eventually with Saddam Hussein.
Right. Right. And they did happen to capture other, I hate to call them Nazis, Germans, okay? They sure did capture other Germans and tried them. And as you say, certainly somebody would have said, well, look who's living here, and would have made a lot of money.
A lot of money. So, you know, I mean, I believe it was a relative of Saddam Hussein who actually took the money and then eventually immigrated to America with one of his cousins. So there's always somebody around going to take 30 pieces of silver.
Sure.
To the U.S. offer. It's a lot more than that.
Sure. Yes. And apparently he had some sort of villa in Argentina that was very similar to the villa that he and Eva Braun had up in the mountains. And, well, it's just, as you said, somebody would have cashed in and spilled the beans as to where he was. And there would have been a trial, a stack trial. Yeah, I don't buy that either. But, okay. So that's one of the myths.
Well, one of the latest ones that I saw just the other day, well, I'm saying it's the latest, it hadn't crossed my path before anyway, was the fact that Hitler was in league with Hollywood.
Really?
Really, yeah. There's some kind of story going around that Hitler kind of worked with Hollywood to say what films should be released and what shouldn't be released, whether it was good for the Nazis or bad for the Nazis. Just crazy. But then again, most of the myths are crazy.
Sure. But it is amazing that no matter what the myth or the story or the propaganda piece, that somebody is going to believe it because it comes from some sort of an authority figure or because, and people believe things because they do hear it. And they don't really do their own research to determine the veracity of a story.
Yeah, and especially if they keep hearing it over and over, it tends to stick.
Sure.
Without the research, you know, then it's an automatic response. Oh, yeah, I already went to Argentina as well, type of thing. It's the Allies played that card brilliantly, but I've got to be honest, you know, they kind of... They put a lockdown on Germany and Europe, and then spread these stories of various, the Holocaust and things like that, and it stuck, and it went into the education system, eventually went into the history books, and then eventually went into the law book, where
right.
It was all protected. So it's like that in itself, with that particular myth, should open up food for thought, because I think, as far as I'm aware, it is the only. Only piece of history which is protected by law. That's like me saying to you, Diana, the Alamo never happened, and then I get thrown in prison.
You're right.
Crazy.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. That is one subject for which you can get thrown in prison in many, many countries. And the first country that talked about, well, let's see, I guess the first country that even prohibited the anti-Semitism was Russia. And that was pretty early on. But then, what, there are 16 countries that now say that you can get put in jail for talking, for even mentioning the Holocaust, or saying that.
You're saying the 16 countries. There's a law passed about 5 years ago, and it wasn't democratically brought in. And that was at the United Nations, where a lot of people don't quite realise that in countries which didn't have that particular law, people have been deported from certain countries because of what they've said. Because they never knew about this law, what had been passed by the United Nations. And that United Nations law says that to deny the Holocaust is a crime.
Ah.
And people can look that up. It's out there on the internet. So say somebody in a country where there is no particular law against it openly states it. If it comes under the jurisdiction of this United Nations, which it probably will, they're in great danger.
Well, I know that Ernst Zundel, of course, was he had left Germany as a very young child, or very young, and he ended up getting deported back to Germany, and first he was in Canada, then he married and moved to Tennessee, and with just within a very short time, the Canadian government, working with the United States government, managed to deport him to Germany, where he was imprisoned, and just for republishing a book that he mm-hmm. didn't even write. Mm-hmm. He just republished it.
Well, it was in Canada, I believe, for 2 years in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Which at any age, even at a young age, can have a psychological effect on somebody, you know. But at Ernst's age, it was cruel. It was torture.
Of course it was. I mean, he was, I'm not sure exactly how old he was, but that's amazing. I'm visiting the chat room, my chat room.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm monitoring both and seeing if there's any things that we'd like to bring up. But apparently Eichmann was discovered in a region of Patagonia in Argentina that looks very much like Bavaria. And I said that there is a region in a lot of areas that look like Bavaria. And then someone indicated that that was where Eichmann was discovered. Now, if Adolf Eichmann was discovered there, and if Hitler supposedly had a villa there, I think probably somebody...
The betting is he's going to be caught, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're just...
Can I just say, though, this is a strange one, this, because all the, as we'll call them Germans, right, all the Germans who escaped Europe and all the goings-on there, all ended up more or less in South America, and particularly in Argentina. Whereas Argentina, there was I think it was 51 countries that was legally at war against Germany. And Argentina was one of them. Reluctant, though it was, it was pressured by the United States, no doubt, because to suddenly take all these escaping Germans in, the government, which was technically at war with Germany.
Yeah.
It kind of paints a picture that they were forced into that war. And no, there are numerous other countries as well who didn't really want to go to war with Germany, were forced into it by probably, threats of sanctions, etc. So it's just something there which people can see without really going into great detail that something was happening behind the scenes, because it did take a lot of Germans down there.
Right. It's very interesting, too, that the U.S. government went into a lot of South American countries, and any Germans that were living there prior to the war actually getting going, or just shortly thereafter, as soon as Germany and the United States had declared war, was that the U.S. deported a lot of Germans from the countries in South America, took them up to the United States, forced them to leave their country, their assets and everything in these South American countries, and then they were incarcerated in camps in the United States. We know that the Japanese were incarcerated, mm-hmm. But we rarely hear about the Germans being incarcerated. And not only were they incarcerated, but they were incarcerated after being seized and having their assets seized in these South American countries, which leads me to believe what you just said, is that these South American countries were compelled to fight against Germany because the U.S. government threatened them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if Argentina actually sent any troops. I mean, they did come in late.
Right.
But it's the symbolic thing of it, where, you know, United States will turn to the any doubting countries, and they will look, 51 countries can't be wrong.
Right.
Similar to what they did with Iraq, to be honest, when he tried to get his coalition, and they got a shambles of a coalition together and proclaimed that, you know, Bush said that he was in the right, type of thing.
Right, yes. If you're not with us, you're against us.
Correct.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yes, Yeah. Well.
No, I can't remember that actual coalition, but it was something like Iceland and some...
Yeah, places that...
Some far-off places, you know, which,
yeah,
you know, probably got...
places.
Probably got cajoled into it anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so when they captured Eichmann, and this was, I believe his trial started in, what was it, June 61 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
In Jerusalem, they kidnapped him. Okay, they kidnapped him,
yeah.
And took him, and that was really, that was about the same time that the novel was republished that was written by a doctor, what was that doctor's name? It was really a novel, mm-hmm. And he said that he was, that he worked at Auschwitz, and he was an assistant and working with the doctor to do all of these experiments and stuff like that. And during Eichmann's trial, they'd really kept him in a glass bubble sort of thing so that he couldn't hear what was really going on in the courtroom. It was so convoluted. I mean, it was just really terrible.
Can I just mention the fact that when people wonder about what's going on today, the power of Israel, I mean, even way back then, you know, they could go into other countries and kidnap people. And they did it after the Munich shootings of the Olympic.
Right.
72. Yeah, you know, they'd go into countries and assassinate people, and just no one prepares to stop them because they are the power in the world, and it goes on today with Palestine. It's been going on in Palestine since 48, you know, and nobody, you know, there's a lot of vocal, but that's only because of embarrassment, I feel, half the time, but there's no actual physical, nobody saying enough's enough. And that's probably because Israel rule the world today with their minions, the US
right.
And the UK, you know.
Right. Well, okay, this book, it was by Miklos Nisli, mm-hmm. And when it first came out, it just had a swastika on the cover. But after they kidnapped Eichmann, they brought it out again, and I believe the second time they republished it, it actually had his picture on it or something.
Uh-huh.
And, it's very weird. Very weird.
Yeah, I think they did a similar thing with a senator went out with somebody. He's only just died recently. He got a lot of... In fact, he was thrown into prison at one point. I can't remember his name now. T, it begins with... And he went out to Israel with his prisoner and actually brought him back. But then, as the Jews do, they never give up. And then they finally got him extradited to Germany for a trial, where he actually died, I think, during the trial.
Wow. Yes. Okay. All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Wake up, wake up. Wake up and look around you. We're lost in space and the earth is your home.
Research. Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Woo! Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can.
All righty, we are back. Our guest tonight is Dennis Wise, and his website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. He is the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. Wonderful, wonderful, brilliantly executed film. And it's just a pleasure to be talking with you again. I was just looking up some of the information about Adolf Eichmann. And there was a person that Uncle Rainer, my dear Uncle Rainer, sent to me an email a few days ago and told me about Fritz Bauer. And Fritz Bauer, apparently, there were, according to Wikipedia, which you can't always believe, but probably 90-10 ratio of truth versus fiction. But anyway, several Jews and other victims of the Holocaust dedicated themselves to finding Eichmann and other Nazis. Among them was the Jewish Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal. And Wiesenthal learned from a letter shown to him in 1953 that Eichmann had been seen in Buenos Aires, and he passed along that information to the Israeli consulate in Vienna in 1954. When Eichmann's father died in 1960, Wiesenthal made arrangements for private detectives to surreptitiously photograph members of the family, as Eichmann's brother Otto was said to bear a strong family resemblance, and there were no current photos of the fugitive. He provided these photos to Mossad agents on February 18th. So that would be 1960. And so also instrumental in exposing Eichmann's identity was Lothar Herrmann, a German half-Jew who had immigrated to Argentina in 1938, when in 1956 Herrmann's daughter Sylvia began dating a man named Klaus Eichmann, who boasted about his father's Nazi exploits. Herrmann alerted Fritz Bauer, the prosecutor general of the state of Hesse in West Germany. So that's how they caught Eichmann. And they caught him on Garibaldi Street in San Fernando, Buenos Aires. So he didn't go to Argentina. He was in Buenos Aires. Okay.
By the way, that senator, by the way, was Jim Trafficant. And he clashed with AIPAC after he'd been out to Israel with this guy who'd been arrested in America and found not guilty in Israel.
Right.
He brought him back, but clashed with AIPAC and ended up getting 7 years on trumped up charges.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, he recently passed away. Yeah.
That's
right. He had a tractor accident, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I'm sure your listeners will know none of him. I couldn't quite remember his name, but I managed to find it.
Yeah.
It's again just going back to Adolf Hitler. I just imagine the hump that there would have been. You know, it would have been probably a multi-million pound reward, and there would have been Mossad agents all over Argentina.
Right. Okay. And then Eichmann was taken to several Mossad safe houses that had been set up by a team. He was held for 9 days, double-checked, Eichmann was sedated by an Israeli doctor on the Mossad team and dressed as a flight attendant, and he was smuggled out of Argentina aboard the same El Al Bristol Britannia aircraft.
Which is illegal, of course.
Yes. Yes. And, okay, yeah. So he was in Argentina for a while. And the doctor, the guy that wrote this book, the book is Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Account, Miklos Nisely. And he claimed that he worked with Joseph Mengele at Auschwitz. Anyway, we're at another 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter?
All right, we are back. This is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint Richardson, whose website is thecorporationnation.com. Our phone number, if you have a question or comment, is 800-313-9443. Our guest tonight is Dennis Wise, the producer of the brilliant Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And it is kind of amazing in looking at the information is that Adolf Eichmann belonged to three different organizations that were deemed adjudicated as criminal at the Nuremberg trials. Now, he wasn't there, but he was criminalized at the Nuremberg trials. And when they went into Argentina, or when they took him from Buenos Aires and shipped him out via Argentina, Argentina, the government there said, hey, wait, you can't be doing this. And somehow Israel and Argentina was going to, using the UN, was going to, say, hey, you can't come into our country. It's against, it's a violation of Argentinian sovereignty, and you need to make some sort of restitution, because you have violated Argentinian law, and they put it to the United Nations Security Council, and then they negotiated, and then they decided, Israel and Argentina decided to end the dispute, and so off to Israel. They took kidnappers took Eichmann, and the trial began, and then they reissued the book, which was Auschwitz: A Doctor's Eyewitness Account. At the same time as the trial started, to probably add fuel to the fire of all these myths. Or some of these myths, particularly about Mengele and his supposed experiments.
I feel, because of the internet, a lot of the time, I mean, Hitler was a Rothschild, another one, or Hitler was a Jew, or Eva was a Jew, and all these things are to counteract what's coming out today, because in the case of the Rothschilds, I know that when he entered Austria, he actually arrested one of the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds back in the UK offered money to have him released. I think they offered something like $600,000, which Hitler turned down, and he finally accepted something like $21 million, and it still stands as the highest ransom paid for one single person today. But then, again, in France, there was another Rothschilds. One of them, his wife was arrested for crossing over the border, or trying to cross over the border. And she was put in a camp, but she died in 1945 of typhus. But if you look it up in Wikipedia, it says that she died being thrown alive into a furnace, which I suppose they always would say that.
Sure. Well, I know that when they went into France, when Germany went into France, they went into the Rothschilds' homes were not safe. I mean, they were not spared in any way.
Yeah.
And
they took a fast route out to Europe, I'm sure.
Yes, yes, and of course we do know that. That during the French, I think it was the French Revolution, that those houses were spared. I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember everything I've ever written.
No, I'm the same. I can't remember everything I've ever put down on film, but yeah, certainly. I believe anyway. These myths are starting to counteract, because look, take the transfer agreement. I mean, as far as I'm aware, I don't think anybody knew about the transfer agreement until around about the 1980s, when a Jewish author revealed it, and his parents disowned him.
Edwin Black. Yeah,
that's right. And what that revealed was how the Jews were well treated leaving Germany and moving down to Israel, which suited both the Zionists and Hitler, because Hitler wanted rid of an alien force, and this was a nice peaceful way of doing it. It gave them all the belongings to take with them, or money to compensate, and the Zionists were getting people into Israel, which what they wanted. So in a way it was a good solution, but now of course it was blamed for causing the state of Israel, which is ridiculous.
Right
that's another myth.
And actually, it didn't last that long, the transfer agreement, because they really didn't want to congregate all the Jews in one place, and that wasn't a part of the agreement at all.
That time wasn't even Israel. It was Palestine. You know,
sure.
Israel hasn't even come of age then.
Sure. And there was a lot of, there are a lot of things that that people say that Edwin Black said said in his books that he didn't say at all. And in fact, I contacted Edwin Black and said, you know, I've been through your books. I didn't have one of them in a Kindle version. And I said, I cannot find any record in your book that you said this, and yet you are on a website, or somebody has used your book and quoted you on a website saying that you said a particular said this, and this was supposedly said in the excuse me, in his book The Transfer Agreement, the 25th anniversary edition, and he didn't say what this website said.
No. Well, the problem is with the internet today, that I think goes on a lot. And when people say to me, where's all your sources? And all the sources, as you know yourself, they're all in the Part 26. It's probably the most source documentary that I've ever seen, because any of the documentaries that I've ever watched before deserved any sources from the Allied version. So it's you know, there's always like some kind of a counteractive thing going on, and we all know that there are people working for Israel on the internet and getting paid for it as well. So I think they're constantly on the lookout for these things and developing stories, and some of these do catch on and people jump on them. So it's unfortunate, but the golden rule that I've always used, Diana, is look at the friends and look at their actions.
Sure. Absolutely.
It tells you a lot.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I use a lot of sources in my work too. It's just, and I have all the sources at the bottom of the page in all of my books so that people can look and see where I got a particular thing. And, one thing about sources, and I learned this in doing family history research, is that when you have a source, the people who are looking at your work should be able to go to that very exact same source and draw the same conclusions. But if you don't have a source, it's nothing more than hearsay or myth. And
yeah,
so any work that does not have a source, a legitimate source, is nothing more than hearsay.
But how many Allied documentaries do you see have sources?
Yeah, how true that is. And of course, look
at
Hollywood.
People ask for them. Nobody asks for them anyway, because they're all that brainwashed.
Exactly. A lot of people are so. In fact, I said in a program yesterday that a lot of people are so brainwashed they might just as well say, well, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. I already believe what I believe, and they don't want to hear anything that counters what they already believe or what they have been indoctrinated to accept.
And the crazy thing is you can see they're obviously brainwashed, but they won't accept it, and that is what brainwashing actually is.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, they won't accept the truth. They would rather they are compelled to accept a fiction. They're addicted to fiction, and it's.
Can I just say, Diana, with the documentary, I know various people would have watched it and couldn't sleep for several nights because it just did realize what they researched themselves and found it was truth, and couldn't sleep for two or three nights. That's so much how it was affecting them, because they were obviously brainwashed, and all of a sudden got this reaction, a negative positive reaction in the brain, which was causing people to leap. And I've had several cases of that where it's just amazing that people have just admitted in even radio interviews that they were that shocked. But this is the initial brainwashing which we were all under to start with, being slowly stripped away, and it's painful.
Yes. Well, people don't like to be fooled, and so it's easier, and they don't want to be duped. So it's easier to continue maintaining the fiction than to say, "Oh my gosh, I was fooled."
Yeah, that's quite true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, people don't realize today, because you may say to people, "Hey, watch this documentary. Why should I? It's got nothing to do with today anyway." And that's the first real big mistake, because everything stems from that victory. You know, things as we look at society today with the teachings in schools of sex education to young children, young minors, and homosexuality is being taught. All crazy left wing. Communist agenda type things, which all stem from World War II, and I'm quite sure parents really knew what was going on. They'd be shocked and stunned.
Sure. Yes.
You know, you've got gay marriage. You've got gays now adopting children. All these type of things, whether you agree with it or not, are not the norm, or certainly wasn't the norm before 1945.
Right.
And another myth, of course, can I just throw this in, is that Hitler gets accused of persecuting homosexuals. But tell me one country what endorsed homosexuality in the 40s. Just one country.
Right.
Not one.
Yes.
It wasn't just Germany. It was a thing of the times.
Sure. There was a lot of during the 20s in Berlin. It was in Weimar Germany. I mean, Berlin was the sin capital of Europe, and they promoted homosexuality and just.
Well, you could buy anything for ten American dollars. You could buy any. If you think of it, a certain perversion of sex, you could buy that for $10 in Berlin in the '20s.
Right, and what did he do when he came in when he was had power? He cleaned up Berlin.
Yep. Yeah, cleaned it up, because it wasn't safe for families to walk at night.
Of course not. Yes.
You know, this is a man of morals, you know, not the way it's portrayed. And these people, what left Berlin at that time, a lot of them headed for America.
And to Hollywood.
And became, Babylon of Hollywood.
Yeah, and became stars with the same group of people
and Hollywood today is Babylon.
Yes, it is. And book burning. Talk to us about book burning.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing which was hidden from everybody, like, because they call it the Nazis were destroying a culture. When you get to the roots of it, what they were destroying was filth and pornography and communist and Marxist-Leninist books, which they felt were not suitable for the German nation. And I tended to agree with it. So all these books, what were being thrown on in a huge bonfire, wasn't denying anybody any freedom or anything like it. It's the fact that it just wasn't wanted in Germany by the majority. You know, the Jewish culture is a big clash with the German culture. The homosexuality in the movies, and the rampant affairs and all that went against the morality of the Germans. And Hitler saw this, and first chance he got rid of the books and they burned them. People don't realize is when the war was over, the Allies did exactly the same to the National Socialists and burnt all their books.
Right.
Replaced all their teachers.
Right. Yes. Somebody in the chat room said, regarding getting back to Berlin and the sins and everything, said, isn't that how Germany is now? And
yeah, quite true.
Yeah.
Quite true. It's come back that way, yeah.
Yeah. What a shame. What a shame. And... talk to us about the crimes in Germany during that period of time. The crime rate in Germany
the crime rate, yeah.
Well, non-existent almost.
Well, the thing is, like, is that when there's poverty about, there's certain things rise to the forum. One is, you know, prostitution and sex is obviously, you know, a way for people to earn money who haven't got the means or any other means if there's no jobs or unemployment's rife. And crime is another one. Obviously, crime was rife as well at that time.
Right.
But as soon as you get a society where people are well off and have got well-paid jobs and there's a happy atmosphere to everything, then automatically, you know, the two things, you know, there's no need for such a drastic way to earn money. And this is what happened in Germany, to a point where crime was practically eliminated. It was just a utopia for up until the war started. And this is what they wanted to hide from the rest of the world, because you know, the Germans had holidays, they had overtime, they had canteens, putting all things what you expect today is normal, but which are sadly getting taken away, especially here in the UK.
Exactly.
Germany had burst.
Yes. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We have a couple of callers online. Maybe we'll take those when we come back. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
Strike Hard Gear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com Strategy 1 to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about a wonderful heart drop bar. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away, and I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
All right, we are back. This is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint Richardson tonight. Our guest is Dennis Wise, the producer of the very, very popular and brilliant Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. The website is thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And we do have a couple callers, so let's go ahead and take sure. Richard in Texas. I believe Richard called last night, but Richard, go ahead.
Hi, yes, it's me again. Hi, Deanna and Dennis.
Hi.
I watched a BBC presentation on YouTube the other day, and I've tried to find it again but can't. But it was about some UK folks who had moved to Germany to live and work for a year, I guess it was, or something like that. And it was just amazing the culture shock that it was for these UK folks in terms of how disciplined German society was in terms of their work ethic, as well as the fact that all of the moms were, for the most part, all stay-at-home moms and that sort of thing, you know, back in the traditional family type style.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was very interesting to see that. And but along those lines, I'm curious if you guys can help me understand how in the world Germany went from their appreciation of Hitler into being brainwashed along with the rest of the world to now see Hitler and Nazism as a demon and all that sort of thing. And I have one other question after that, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one, for instance, the first one, at the end of 1945, I think I've already mentioned that they burnt all the books on National Socialism. They demonized everybody by using the Holocaust. They changed all the teachers around, and they even changed some of the speeches that Hitler made. I know one in particular where he was trying to avoid war with Poland, and the actual speech is taught in German schools today. It's not what he said. So, you know, with the constant propaganda over so many years and over so many generations, and don't forget a lot of them, the Germans at that time were taken out. You know, a lot of the SS were just shipped to the Soviet Union, and the Germans were hunted all over the world. You know, the leading National Socialists. So they demonized them. They hung them to make them look like criminals. This is the first time any trial had taken place after any war. Normally, like, you know, you just say, well, we lost and we'll just, you know, we'll suffer. But no, these were put on trial, charged, and as it shows in the documentary, many were hung as criminals. So over this period of time, and just getting one side of it all the time, and I've said before that they have done a great job, not only, you know, on the rest of the world, but on the Germans especially. So
it's amazing, because, I mean, you know,
it seems weird and strange to you, but in the environment that they was living in after, you know, just in over a decade of propaganda would have done it, probably.
It's amazing because, you know,
the law, you have laws to stop people from questioning it. We're not so much over in America or Canada or anywhere else. But there's certain laws in Germany that they do not really talk about, you know, because for fear of prison. So,
well, they've re-engineered the very people that were, you know, there on the scene observing and participating and all that sort of thing. It's just mind-boggling, but it just shows the power of propaganda and that sort of thing, I suppose.
Right. And they also sent a lot of those Germans, we're at the top of the hour. We'll pick this up on the other side of the hour. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Financial uncertainty.